is Dukes and Bell. I am looking at this from college football. And On3, our buddy Rusty Manziel works for On3 and does stuff as well. But President Trump apparently signed an executive order today that's going to prohibit third-party pay-for-play payments and directs the Secretary of Labor and the National Labor Relations Board to clarify that athletes are amateurs and not employees.
Oh, snap.
So,
but the judge already made the ruling. So how does this fall legally?
This is the question. So the NCAA and Power Five leaders have long pursued congressional action on Capitol Hill, most recently with the SCORE Act. And this, you know, this goes back a few years when they were like, hey, we need clarity, we need help. But the executive order prohibits third-party pay-for-play payments but does not apply to legitimate fair market value compensation that a third party provides for an athlete.
But isn't it now you're getting paid directly by the university?
You are.
There's no more collective, technically. I mean,
so this is the third party. This is not the university.
Right.
This is would be that collective, Mike, that we're talking about.
And it's a little confusing for the audience, but
it is.
Okay, all right.
It is. So
I thought we kind of bridged that gap. I know there's still some questions after the House versus NCAA settlement, but
that's what I
thought we were already down this road. It's basically 20, the way the listeners, I think most fans figure, $20 million is a salary cap per team.
Yep.
And that's what we're working off. So when you hear all these big money contracts, you know, with the Longhorns, for instance, that's going against their cap, for lack of a better word.
And I think
it's going to make, you know, you got to cover 80 guys,
yes,
or 85 guys with
and,
that money.
And for those who don't remember, Saban went and met with the president.
Right.
I mean, there have been numerous college coaches who have said, hey, you know, you need to look into this. Again, an executive order is not congressional, or you've passed a law, Mike, through Congress to say this is now the law of the land. But nevertheless, it's a start. So anyways, that's just out there. I'm mentioning it because as we talk college football as well, and we'll get to the college season here, before you know it, dogs will be working out. All the schools will be getting ready for the season. But it is interesting to see now that this executive order has been signed.
And it's funny because everybody's talking about the big money, you know, the best linebacker, best running back going to the Texas Longhorns, presumably for millions of dollars.
Hook 'em.
Georgia losing out on a top lineman from Ohio who goes to the University of Miami potentially for an extra $500,000, if you believe the reports. And then we find out today from the On3 people that Jared Curtis is expected to make north of $750,000 in his freshman season. Now, he won't start. Gunnar Stockton's going to be here. But I got to be honest, based on Jared Curtis's five-star rating, that's well below the perceived market value, but I do think it plays into what Kirby was selling at SEC Media Days, that they're trying to find that balance between not just pure, you know, play for pay and guys that actually want to develop and grow in a program.
I agree. Kirby said it so clearly. It's not the money. He said it. I don't care about that. Like, I don't have any problems with that. The problem that Kirby has stated that he has is, again, one, allowing kids to come in, you make this commitment to leave, and then they can leave again. And he's like, I'm trying to build my team and set my roster. Guys, eventually, and this is another thing the Big Ten and the SEC are going to come to an agreement on, one portal date. That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think
one portal
it's gotten to the point where it's gotten silly.
And the SEC, right, wants it earlier. The Big Ten wants it later. They want it in April. SEC's like, let's do it in January. This has been another argument, but they're going to come together. Once they decide about this playoff thing, that is something else that's going to change, and I think it's going to help college football because, Mike, this two portal, I shouldn't be worried about my team, and I'm in season, and you got guys already talking about what they want out, and they're transferring. I'm trying to keep my team together, and I got to worry about whether I'm going to bring in new guys. It's too much.
Well, I mean, then you had your spring game, and you lose 10 guys off your spring team.
That's right.
That's why I agree with – again, the SEC has it right. The Big Ten, though, as we said, this power play, this sort of struggle of, like, it's like Cold War. It's like, we'll say that the SEC is the good guys, we're the USA, and the Big Ten are the Ruskies, but it is like this power play and this power dynamic, and who are the proxies? How does the Big 12 and the ACC feel about this, and who's got our back? It's pretty interesting. Kirby, according to CBS Sports, they do the SEC coach rankings. Again, this is subjective, but I think we'd agree that he is the number one coach. Steve Sarkisian comes at two.
Okay.
And then hot seat Brian Kelly, me and my
family,
he comes in third. I'd buy that.
I do too. I just feel like the first two, look, Sark doesn't have to win a chip this year. He should.
Yeah.
No. They could get to the college football national championship game and lose. And it would be a step further than where they were last year, okay? And then you go, well, Arch is back, and look at what we got back, and you build it, and they say he's okay. They're not going to fire Sark if he gets to the national championship game. Kirby's fine. Brian Kelly doesn't make the playoffs, I think he's done.
You realize, I said this the other day, it's funny, after practice today, we were talking to A.J. Terrell off mic, because he's a big Clemson guy, and I had a Seminole hat, he's breaking my chops, but I was talking about, we're going to find out who the real Death Valley is with LSU going into South Carolina in Clemson, and it is interesting because Brian Kelly has never won the opening game as head coach of LSU. They lost to Florida State twice, and they lost to USC. So he's never won week one, which is interesting. And needless to say, you know how it is for fans. Yes, you can lose early and still be in the mix.
Yeah.
But as a fan, it just takes all the wind right out of your sails.
Well, there's already like this belief that he should be winning more games with the amount of talent that's there. And for those who don't know this, too, we're talking college football. You know, Brian Kelly came out of his own pocket $1 million for NIL for his own team.
Right.
He was like, here's an extra meal. Like, he understands that he's got to get it done. But, yeah, Mike, I just feel like it adds that extra pressure.
Coaches on the hot seat kind of famously have to put a little extra in a little less in the envelope. Mike Norvell gave some money to one of the foundations to help do the same thing.
Well,
when you realize which way the wind's blowing, you've got to give a little back.
I'll say this, though. You know, again, and make as much money as you can, right? That's great. But if some of these coaches are making $10, $11, $12 million.
To whom much is given?
Yeah, much is there's much responsibility.
Yeah, much is expected.
So I don't have an issue with it either, but that is not the norm. Guys, teams and coaches are not coming out of their pocket. It just tells you, for me, Brian Kelly, he understands the circumstances.
Hey, when we see Bijan Robinson next practice, we got to get on his case. You got to tell him, hey, man, knock off this Texas stuff. Bijan Robinson reportedly becoming a closer for the Texas Longhorns.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Trying to give tips to some of these recruits has been pretty cool, says Bijan. Look, Bijan's the most dynamic personality. By the way, how good did he look today? It's kind of funny. Guys were asking us who looked good at practice. We should have started with, and by the way, Bijan looks like he's ready for the season, because he is just, it's effortless. And yes, there are plays that might have been whistled at, be a tackle, but for the most part, anytime Bijan touched it, and Tyler Allgeier, they were making moves.
Yeah.
Down the field.
I don't know, Mike. Maybe I'm skewed. He's dynamic, and I feel like you guys know this, and like if I told you, wow, he made a move today, and he juked three guys at one time, and if it was a live play, it would have not only been a first down, it would have been good for 25 to 30 yards.
It would have been on SportsCenter.
Right? And if I said that to you, you'd be like, all right, I believe it, because you've seen enough of Bijan to like go, dude, he's so dynamic. When you make a crowd in a practice go,
ooh, right,
that's special.
And that's the kind of stuff he was doing. And we got to be honest. We said Kyle Pitts. We talked about it earlier. He was also having a really good day today because there was a concerted effort to get the ball in his hands. One last college note. Mack Brown doing an interview. I guess it was up at ACC. But anyway, he's talking somewhere about Vince Young.
They should have never fired me.
He made a mistake. And by the way, did you see the media scrum around Belichick today?
What he say is the question.
50,000 people around Belichick for him to mumble through.
Very excited. Difficult schedule.
Did they ask about the girlfriend?
What's that?
The girlfriend.
That's off limits of talking about.
Is she here?
Who is
she in the building?
All right, time out. Who of those khaki pants, milk toast, white bread with mayonnaise,
is she,
ACC media type, is going to ask anything about
that? Is she
that?
Blowing the horn for the next segment of practice?
Next question. Next question. Looking forward to next season.
No, so Belichick.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
So Belichick literally had the biggest crowd, said nothing. People were saying it's wild. They said, wow, even Krzyzewski doesn't get that many people in the old days, you know, at Duke, or Roy Williams at North Carolina, you know, at ACC Hoops days. But Vince, getting back to Mack Brown, asked about comparisons of Arch Manning, saying he reminds him of Vince Young, saying he's kind of self-deprecating, but I like it. He's a whole lot like Vince at the same age. Look, say what you want about Vince's disastrous pro career. He was one of the most, if not the, well, he won the Heisman, the most dynamic player in college.
Hands down. Vince Young was a dude, man. Like, again.
The USC game?
He's one of these guys that, again, when you start talking about this college career, go look at what he was able to do. And if you're comparing Arch from an attitude standpoint, because they're different athletes, they're different dudes.
Right.
But that's great. By the way, real quick about LSU, and we'll come back. Mike's got guy talk on the way. We'll talk about one iconic player or person that was lost today. The only win I see on LSU's schedule is when they play Alabama. That's it. Clemson lost. Florida, L. Ohio, wow. Ole Miss,
wow.
Loss.
You're going in. LSU's going to go 1-11?
Ole Miss, they're going to lose. I'm talking LSU. Look, the first 6 weeks of the season, the only win I see LSU is Alabama. Hi.
Why do you
Hi,
hate,
Jerome.
Why do you hate Alabama so
no,
much?
No, look, I'm joking. Seriously, though, Mike, Clemson, I've said this. Florida in the first 3 weeks, you could be 1-2 after beating La Tech. Then you get Southeastern Louisiana. Okay, you're 2-2 if you're LSU. And then you have to play at Ole Miss.
But
you
Ole Miss
can be 2-3.
Ole Miss is recharging the batteries. But, all right, I'm with you. Lane will have them ready.
Up front they are. Their quarterback is legit.
Right. But they always have the transfer portal thing down. That's one thing Lane has mastered.
Yeah, but I do think they should beat Ole Miss. But on the road, we know how that can be. I'm just telling you, Louisiana State fans, you guys, we could be looking by October 11th, against South Carolina, you could know what this season looks
wow.
like.
Wow. They're going to have to basically cancel elementary schools in Louisiana to pay for the buyout of Brian Kelly. You know how that works in the state of Louisiana. But the thing about Clemson, we were talking, as we said, off the air with AJ, and he's got a brother up there. But you know, the defense is amazing. They've got, as you said, the best defensive front. We've got a quarterback in Kate Klubnik, who's, this is it. I mean, you said, had statistically an amazing year. I thought that the last couple of years, the coaching staff has gone through some learning curve. But, man, Clemson, everyone's kind of sleeping now. They're the best team in the ACC, hands down. But you're penciling Clemson into the Final Four?
I am.
I think this is a monster year for Dabo. I think Dabo, you know, he had to hear for 2 years. You know, it's the nature of sports and journalism and the way social media works. Programs and coaches get built up and then just cut them off at the knees as soon as they show some degree of dropping back a bit. But I think this is it. And also for Clemson, this is the culmination of guys sticking around. You know, we talked about with Ohio State and Michigan. This is the same thing for Clemson this year, bro. They got to get it done.
No, they do. Hey, man, when we come back, we got some guy talk, Mike Bell.
Let me tell you something, brother. All you little Hulksters out there, you better say your prayers or take your vitamins. An iconic wrestler, the guy that transcended pop culture. We'll talk about the passing of Hulk Hogan in Guy Talk. Also coming up, those of us, Carl, who will always remember the great one-side-of-the-street blackout of the Mall of Georgia in 2025 and how we overcame it today at Hooters. Live from Hooters Mall of Georgia in Buford, it's Dukes and Bell.